Amen. Thank you for that beautiful song. Grandfather-grandson duet. It's great. Awesome. Heard a story of a young man. He went into a drugstore and he bought three deals of chocolates, small, medium, and large. The pharmacist came up to him and said, what are you doing buying these three boxes of chocolates? He told the pharmacist, he said, I have a new girlfriend and I'm going to go over to her house for dinner tonight and then we're going out. And he said, if she lets me hold her hand, I'm going to give her the small box of chocolates. If I get a kiss her on the cheek, I'll give her the medium box. And if she lets me kiss her on the lips, I'll give her the large box of chocolates. So he made his purchase and left. That evening, he sat down for dinner with his girlfriend's family and he asked if he could pray for the meal. He prayed a really long, earnest, intense prayer. It lasted about 5 minutes. When he finished, his girlfriend said, "You never told me you were such a religious person." And he said, "You never told me your dad was the pharmacist." You guys got that much better than the first service crew. Maybe a lot of people don't remember drugstores, but, you know, prayer, we've been studying prayer on Sunday morning for a while, and prayer is not just something we do to get us out of a jam, like this young man. Prayer is supposed to be a relationship that we live out, talking to our Heavenly Father, praying. We're going to look at a parable of Jesus in Luke chapter 18, where he tells us we should pray and never give up. So stand as we read God's word this morning. The parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' The Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Lord, thank you for your word. And we pray today, Lord, that you'll speak to us through your word. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive your word, Lord, the message you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus gave his disciples this story of the persistent widow. We don't have to wonder why. He tells us exactly why. Says he gave them this story so that they would always pray and not give up. Always pray and not give up. It's not the first time he did this. If you go back to Luke 11, he did another one about a persistent neighbor who wanted some food late at night and he bothered his neighbor until he got the food that he needed. We see here in this parable from the words of Jesus, we need to make prayer our lifestyle. Jesus said we should always pray. Always pray. Paul, when he wrote to the Thessalonians, says, pray continually. So how is that possible? We can't really spend 24 hours in the prayer room over here on the other side of the church. How are we going to pray continually? How do we pray always, like Jesus said? And I think it refers to having an open communication with God all the time. Even if you're not saying anything, the communication is open. You know, some people have these special phones in their ability in their car where you can get your phone through your car and your phone attaches, you know, by Bluetooth to the car, and you can drive down the road and talk to somebody on the phone through speakerphone in your car. I've been with people. I don't have one like that I have that. Let's just imagine you have that and you're talking to someone. You just leave the phone on. You don't turn it off. You don't hang up. You go down the road. Maybe you got a long trip, but you leave it open the whole time. You can talk anytime. They can say something to you. You can say something to them because the communication is open. And I think that's kind of the picture here. We need to live in such a way that the communication is always open between us and God. We can talk to him anytime. He can talk to us. prayer is more than just an emergency. It's a lifestyle. Corrie Ten Boom said this. She said, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? If it's your steering wheel, it's something you could be used to guide you every step of every day. But if it's your spare tire, you only pull it out of the spiritual trunk in times of emergency. We need to pray continually. Make prayer our lifestyle. We also, Jesus said, need to pray persistently. Persistent praying means we don't give up. When times are tough, we don't quit praying. When times are good, we don't quit praying. When answers are delayed, we don't stop praying. You know, when we don't understand, we don't stop praying. Jesus tells us this parable of the persistent widow and the son-caring judge. We need to make sure that you understand this is a lesson in contrast. God is not like the judge, and we're not like the widow, except that we need to be persistent. But in many ways, we're very different from this widow, and we'll look at some of those differences. We need to pray persistently. Persistent prayer takes time. Sometimes prayers are answered immediately, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're delayed. But when they're not, we must persist in prayer. Samuel Chadwick said, to pray as God would have us pray is the greatest achievement on earth. Such a life costs. It takes time. It takes time. The cost of persistent prayer is found in the Bible. You know, we love those answers of prayer in the Bible where they happen like this. But you know, there's a lot of praying in the Bible that was persistent. Moses prayed for 40 days for the nation of Israel. For 40 days. Daniel, the prophet, prayed for 3 weeks before he got an answer for his country. Abraham, we see Abraham interceding before God for Sodom. When God was ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham came to him and said, well, what if there's 50 righteous people there? Will you destroy it? He did that 6 times, persistently praying to God. Paul prayed 3 times for the thorn in his flesh to be removed. Jesus prayed 3 times in the Garden of Gethsemane the same prayer. Persistent praying. E.M. Bounds, who has wrote a lot of good books about prayer, says prayer, which is felt as a mighty force, is a product of much time spent in prayer. Now, a lot of people say, I don't really have time to pray. I'm just going to tell you it's not true. Because you have time to eat. You have time to sleep. You have time to do everything else that you want to do. It's just a matter of priorities. We need to take time to pray. Persistent prayer takes time. Persistent prayer also takes patience. It takes patience. 4-year-old Caitlin was impatient for a sibling. So she asked her mom. She said, Mom, maybe if we both prayed out loud, God would hear us. And so Mom and Caitlin got together and prayed out loud. And after they said amen, Caitlin said, well, what did he say? And Mom explained, well, honey, it doesn't really work quite that way. Sometimes it takes a long time to get the answer. And Caitlin was exasperated and said, do you mean we were praying to an answering machine? We need to pray with patience. Persistent prayer takes patience. George Mueller, who was a great man of God, said it's not enough to pray or to pray aright, nor is it enough to continue for time to pray. We must patiently believe and continue in prayer until we get the answer. We read about a lot of the mission work. William Carey started mission work in India. He prayed and worked for 7 years before he ever had one convert. Robert Morrison was the first Protestant missionary to China. Again, he prayed and worked 7 years before there was one convert. He went 20 years and only had 9 converts to Christ. But he kept persistently doing it. During that time, he also translated the English Bible into Chinese, which was very useful. And all the other missionaries that came behind him built on that foundation. And today, there are millions of Christians in China. Monica, who was the mother of the church leader of Augustine, prayed for 20 years for her rebellious, sinful son. And he was marvelously saved. And he became a great church leader that we all know about, Augustine. We need to pray with patience. The problem is, how many of you enjoy being patient? I mean, I confess, I'm not very patient, and it seems like the older I get, the less patient. It should work opposite, but I don't think I'm not very patient. And it's not easy to be patient. So, but we need to pray in our hurry-up world where we want everything right now to pray with patience, patiently waiting on God. Persistent prayer also takes faith. Jesus said we need to pray and not give up. When we pray, we're having faith. Remember, Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem till the promised Holy Spirit was given to them. And they did it. They prayed, and they prayed for several days before the Holy Spirit came. But you need to understand, they didn't know how long they were going to have to pray. He didn't give them a timeline. He just said, just wait. And they waited and prayed. They persisted because they believed God was going to answer. Elijah, after that great showdown on Mount Carmel, was praying for rain to come. It hadn't prayed rain for 3.5 years. He prayed for rain. He had to pray 7 times. The same guy that prayed a short prayer and fire came from heaven now had to pray 7 times. Persistent prayer because he believed God was going to answer. Remember when Moses and the people of Israel were fighting the Amalekites out in the wilderness? Moses held up his staff in the air, interceding for the people of Israel. As long as he did that, they were winning the battle. He got tired. He had some friends come and hold his hands up so he could keep his hands up. He prayed all day long, persistent in prayer, but because he believed God was going to answer. Persistent prayer takes faith. Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So when we pray persistently with faith, we're believing that God does exist, that he does hear us when we pray, and that he will answer when we pray. We also have to pray, when we pray, remember who we are. You see, in this parable, the widow, we are not really quite like the widow. Widows had a tough time in Jesus' day. If you were a widow, there was no kind of government system to take care of you. You were dependent on your husband. When your husband was gone, you're in trouble. Widows were usually poor, and they didn't have any standing in law. So if she has some justice and needs done by legal means, she wasn't allowed to go into the courtroom. She wasn't allowed to get the justice. She was unheard. She had no access. We are not like the widow woman in the story. We're not an outcast. We are children of God. Jesus says that we are his chosen ones. Children of God. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. We have to remember that when we pray, that we are children of God, loved children of God. I remember when my dad was working and I was a little kid. He had an office in the back of the business that he owned, and as a little kid, I just ran right in there, you know. Didn't matter what he was doing, I just interrupted him, you know. That's what little kids do, right? Not everybody would think about walking into the boss's office just unannounced, but I felt free to do it because he was my dad, and I could do it. I could go in. I was loved and welcomed. We are children of God. God welcomes us. We have access to our Heavenly Father. In the day that Jesus was talking, oftentimes commentators tell us that the court's legal system was often done in movable tents. So a judge would come and set up a tent and hold court for that day. He'd have assistants that would help him, and then he'd move another day to another place and set up and do justice around. Most commentators believe the judge in this story that Jesus is referring to was probably a Gentile judge appointed by the Romans, a Gentile judge. He had assistants. The assistants would oftentimes decide who gets their cases heard, and oftentimes to get your case heard, you had to bribe the judge. They earned a nickname for that called robbery judges. The widow lady would be too poor to pay a bribe. She had no legal standing anyway to go into the courtroom. She had absolutely no access to get what she needed from this judge. But in contrast to her, we have access into the very throne room of God Almighty, to our Heavenly Father. Ephesians 3:12 says, in Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We can approach God the Father in the name of Jesus, His Son. We've been invited to speak with our Heavenly Father. We also have an advocate in Jesus. We have an advocate. The lady has no one to represent her in court. We have someone to represent us. Jesus Christ is our advocate. Says in Romans 8:34, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and He is also interceding for us. Jesus Christ prays for you. We're not alone. He's interceding for you. He intercedes for us all the time. We have an advocate in Jesus Christ. We also have the wonderful promises of God. The lady in the story had no promises to count on. She finally got justice because she just simply wouldn't quit. She was persistent. And now, it doesn't tell us exactly what she did, but I imagine she stalked him. I mean, she followed him. Every time he set up a tent for a new court, there she was. Hey, judge, I need justice. When he walked home, I imagine she's along the way, and she, hey, judge, I need justice. When he gets up in the morning and goes out of his house, hey, judge, I need justice. He goes to lunch, she shows up, hey, judge, I need justice. I mean, he couldn't get away from her. The only reason it says he gives her justice is because he said, she's going to wear me out. God is not like that judge. He has given us wonderful promises, great and precious promises, the Word of God says, that we can count on. Pastor Luciana Barros was the pastor of the Church of the Nazarene in the year 1946 on the island of Fogo, or Fire Island. He pastored a small village deep down within the walls of an old volcano. They raised corn and beans, and that's how they had their sustenance to survive there. But this particular year, in 1946, there was a drought. They didn't have much water, and their crops were dying. The pastor pulled his people together and said, we're going to pray. And he stood on the promise in Isaiah 41 that says this, when the poor and needy seek water, and there's none, and their tongue fails for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I will open up rivers and high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. And they persisted in praying, believing God was going to hear their prayer. Suddenly, one morning, just at dawn, the small village came alive. People began to shout and sing. Pastor Barros and missionary Everett Howard rushed out to see, on the side of the mountain, 9,000 feet above sea level, a gushing fountain of water. So much water came out of that fountain that the government came in and built a reservoir to control the water. And they had plenty of water, and it still flows today, reminding us of the promises of God. So as we look at the parable of Jesus, we're told to keep praying. But as we pray, we realize we are children of God. We have access to our Heavenly Father. We have an advocate in Jesus, and we have the promises of God. We also need to remember the nature of God, because God is not like this judge. God is not like this judge. We pray to a God who loves us. The judge in the story was uncaring. He didn't care about this woman at all. But we pray to a God who loves us incredibly. I think if we could comprehend a little bit about how much God loves us, we would be more persistent in our prayers. When we're praying persistently, we're not pestering God, who doesn't want us to bother Him. He wants us to talk to Him. He's invited us. He loves us. He wants us to have that relationship with Him and wants us to talk with Him. We pray to a God who listens to us. The widow lady, the judge didn't want to listen to her. He had to, but he didn't want to. He was forced to. But God wants to listen. The Lord God Almighty listens to us. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. God listens to us when we pray. Again, we're not bothering Him. He wants us to pray. He wants us to consistently and persistently bring these things before Him. We also pray to a God who is righteous. The judge in the story was unrighteous. God is righteous. The judge in the story didn't have fear of God or didn't care about anybody, this woman especially. But God is righteous. That means you can trust him. He'll do what's right. When the answer is delayed, you can trust him. He's righteous. When the answer is no, you can trust him. He's righteous. We pray to a God who is giving. He's a giving God. The judge in the story didn't want to help the woman. He only did it because of selfish reasons. He didn't do it for the woman. He did it for his own sake. He wanted not to be bothered anymore. It was all about him, wasn't about her. God is not like that judge. He is a God that loves us. He is a giving, giving God. His love is unselfish and sacrificial. That's who God is. The scripture says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. God is ready to answer our prayers. In the Bible, there's 454 specific answers to prayer given. 454 of them. He wants to answer our prayers, but he knows what's best for us. He knows what his will is. Sometimes God's answer is not what we want. Sometimes it's no. You know, most of us have been parents, and I just have a hunch somewhere along the life you told your kid no. We don't give our children everything they ask for, because it isn't good for them. It's not what's best for them. God knows what's best. We need to trust him. And sometimes the answer is no. And we might not even understand, but we need to trust him. He is a giving God. So as we pray persistently, we trust in the character of God who loves us, who listens to us, who is righteous, who is a giving God. So we can pray with confidence. As we pray, we trust in God. We trust in him. When answers to prayer are delayed, and oftentimes they are, we don't stop praying because God is at work. When you think nothing's happening, something's happening. You got to keep praying. We might never know the reason an answer is delayed, but you can trust God as we pray. Here, several things happen as we persist in prayer. Persistent prayer helps us to know God's will. As we pray persistently, we surrender to the will of God. Part of the value of praying over a period of time is that we begin to understand what God's will is. And that's important because it says in the scripture, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. So praying in the will of God is a requirement for answered prayer. We need to pray for God's will. As we pray, we're not praying for God's will to be changed to our will, but so that we can know God's will and our will can blend into his. And that happens as we continue to pray. Philip Brooks says prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his highest willingness, his highest willingness. Persistent prayer also helps us to trust God's timing. Here's where it gets tricky for us, doesn't it? God's timing is often different than our timing. His ways are different than our ways. Isaiah 55, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So we need to pray. When the answer doesn't come, when we think it should come, we don't quit. We keep praying. We pray persistently, patiently, waiting for God's perfect timing. Only God knows the answer of why answers to prayer are delayed. But God knows what's best for us. We can trust in him and his will and his timing. Persistent prayer can strengthen our faith. As we pray persistently over time, do you realize that prayer is an act of faith? And as we pray, your spiritual muscles, as it were, kind of being built. Your faith is growing. Your faith is being built as you pray. So over time, persistent prayer can strengthen our faith. We're put in a place where God can work on us to build our faith. We might not even realize it's happening. We don't know all the reasons why prayer, answers to prayer are delayed, but this could be the reason some of the time that he's working on our faith, to strengthen our faith. Persistent prayer allows God to change us. As we continue to pray, we're staying in this relationship with God. We're putting ourselves in a place where God can work on us. Andrew Murray said, sometimes God is waiting like a patient farmer until the fruits of godliness, faith, and humility in our hearts is ripe before he grants an answer. Oswald Chambers said, prayer is not a matter of changing things externally, but one of working miracles in a person's inner nature. So here's the thing, as we pray, and as we pray persistently with faith, believing God can do anything, I think in our rush to get an answer from God, we forget what God is doing in our lives right now through the prayers. He's changing us. He's working on our hearts. And maybe that's the most important answer to prayer of all, what God does in us as we pray. So my encouragement to you this morning is to take the words of Jesus seriously. We should always pray and not give up. Always pray and not give up. We're going to sing a song of worship together this morning. Gather for a time of prayer. I realize very clearly that the application of this sermon is up to you as time goes on. May the Lord help us to be people of prayer. People who pray and don't give up. There could be some things that you're praying about in your life and you've been tempted to give up. But we can't give up. Can't give up. Sometimes prayers go unanswered because we've given up. God wanted to answer that prayer, but we stopped praying. All the while he was working on us, doing something in our lives, we didn't sense it. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep trusting God.